Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the full year results briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, 28th of August. I'll turn the call over to your first speaker today, Ms. Kim Besharati. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Altium's investor call. It's fantastic to be back home and share with you details of Altium's awesome financial performance for FY17 and our excitement for our journey ahead. I'm Kim Besharati, VP Investor Relations, and joining me on the call today is our CEO, Aram Mirkazemi, and CFO, Joe Baddoui. Today, Altium released to the ASX the company's full-year results and investor presentation, which we will be discussing in Sydney and Melbourne over the next few days. During this call, Aram and Joe will elaborate on Altium's performance over the past 12 months and add colour around some of the exciting developments that are happening at Altium. We will also share details of our progress and our strategy for market leadership and the ongoing expansion of our market opportunity. In keeping with the formality of this call, just as a reminder, today's call in the Q&A section may include forward-looking statements regarding Altium's products, its future operations or financial performance. Any such statement will be based on the current assumptions of Altium's management and subject to risk and uncertainty that may cause the actual event and the result to differ materially. Please note that all the numbers are in US dollars unless specified otherwise. I will now pass over to Aram.
Thank you, Kim, and good afternoon, everyone. Our financial results for FY17 speak to the power of momentum. Momentum is an amazing thing. It takes time to build it, but once it's built, it is hard to stop. That describes my feeling about our performance in this financial year. As I look at various fronts, I see momentum at work from China to the Americas, from Tasking to Octopart, from Altium Designer 17 to Altium Designer 18, from the young lads at Octopart to Henry Potts at the corporate. These are combining strongly to drive our business forward. Altium has reached an inflection point in its journey, and I feel the excitement about its future prospects. After 5 years of double-digit growth, I'm pleased to report that we have delivered our strongest performance, with 18% revenue growth and 22% growth in net profit. This is a great performance and clearly shows the power of focus and disciplined execution. While it may have been considered as a given by the market, I would like to make a point that we have delivered on our promise of exceeding 100 million in revenue. This was a daring goal that we set back in 2014. This alone gives me confidence in chasing down our 200 million target by 2020. I'm pleased to say that the Americas, after an operational glitch in the first half, is back in form, delivering 12% growth over the full year. This is off the back of 15% growth in the second half. This performance is the best way our US team could have responded to the first half. EMEA is also performing well, delivering 18% growth for the full year. This is a great result given we have been expanding our EMEA sales and going direct in all key European markets. Joe will add more color about our going direct in EMEA later in the call. China is another exciting front, delivering 26% growth. As I mentioned at the half-yearly results, I believe we are seeing signs Altium is breaking through in China. If we execute to plan, we will be able to maintain 20% plus growth in China. I'm excited to report that in November, we'll release our next generation products, including Altium Designer 18 and the launch of our long-awaited Athena. Both AD18 and Athena have been getting a strong positive response. In our recent product roadshows, we received a lot of positive feedback. I'm confident that both products will play a critical role in our efforts for market leadership, as well as achieving our goal of $200 million by 2020. I strongly believe that there is a great opportunity for Athena to upend the traditional enterprise software. This will not come about overnight. Athena's growth and adoption will be gradual. I would now like to share my thoughts on Altium's partnership with Dassault. I start by saying that I view our partnership with Dassault as most significant, not only for Altium or Dassault, but for the whole industry. In fact, I'll go so far as saying that this partnership is a marriage made in heaven, bringing electronic design capability to mechanical CAD and PLM in a native way and at the platform level is revolutionary and fortune-changing for the high-tech industry, where electronics plays a critical role in product design and realization. The first stage of this undertaking has been the partnership with SolidWorks. This has resulted in the introduction of SolidWorks PCB. This new product is aimed at the growing segment of the market connected to the rise of smart products. While we have expectations, we have maintained that the adoption will take some time to ramp. The experience of the first 12 months confirms this. We have been working with SolidWorks team to better position this product in relation to their flagship product, which is SolidWorks 3D. Beyond SolidWorks, we are working closely with the CATIA team at Dassault to bring our electronic CAD onto Dassault's 3D experience platform. CATIA is an even larger business unit within Dassault, serving the higher end of the market. This work is a significant undertaking, and we expect that its impact could take several years to be fully realized. However, I believe this undertaking is absolutely fundamental to Altium's journey and is a worthwhile pursuit. On the M&A front, I'm very pleased to announce today our acquisition of Obverta, the developer of the world's first fully cloud-based electronics design system. The acquisition of Obverta represents a significant step in the implementation of our cloud strategy. Together, Altium and Obverta will leverage the power of traditional CAD systems with the lightness and qualities that are inherent in web-based solutions. They will form the foundation for a unified end-to-end cloud platform for the design and realization of electronic products. Combined with our recently acquired cloud services, Octopart and Siva, Obverta will bring the power of the cloud to a new generation of product designers. These services combined will assist with the discovery, design, and manufacturing of electronics needed in the creation of smart connected products. Finally, I would like to share our decision to add another dimension to our 2020 financial goals. Off the back of our strong performance and the momentum that has been built into the business, I'm committing the company to the goal of achieving a reported EBITDA margin of 30% or better by 2020. This is notwithstanding that we will continue to aggressively invest in our core business and pursue M&A objectives. I would like to now hand over to our CFO, Joe.
Thank you, Aram. Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be back in Sydney, and I look forward to meeting with some of you over the next few days. Resulting from the disciplined execution of our strategy, Altium has delivered impressive performance across all key financial metrics. This includes strong profit after income tax, up 22%, resulting in a record earnings per share of 21.7 cents, up 21%. In addition, our operating cash flow is up 155% to $35.9 million. We continue to maintain a strong balance sheet. Our record operating cash flow enabled the company to end the year with a cash balance of $44.3 million after paying dividends of $20.8 million compared to the $17.6 million we paid in 2016. and we completed two acquisitions. Our core PCB business has delivered strong performance across all regions. Tasking and Octopart businesses also show impressive results. Altium's board and systems division, our core PCB business, grew revenue by 15% year-on-year. Altium Designer seats grew strongly in the second half by 11%, resulting in over 5,500 new licenses sold during the full year. The subscription pool for recurring revenue grew by 11% year-over-year to reach 34,500. The Americas delivered a strong second-half performance to achieve 12% revenue growth for the full year. The additional capacity we discussed at the half-year resulted in 15% growth during the second half. Seat volume in the Americas grew by 10%. EMEA is continuing to perform, delivering 18% growth in revenue for the year. This strong performance is noteworthy as we continue to transform the EMEA business model to fully embrace our transactional sales methodology and extend our direct presence in key markets. Our acquisitions earlier in the year of our long-term Netherlands and UK resellers are working out well. The Netherlands-based team has taken direct responsibility for Scandinavia, which allowed us to terminate resellers in the Nordics. And our UK-based team is continuing to deliver good results. We look to Spain and Italy as next potential areas where we may extend our direct presence. Both APAC and emerging markets grew revenue by 18% for the full year. Having opened an office in Japan, we are building momentum in that region and are focused on driving additional revenue. Finally, China continues its strong run, delivering 26% growth over the full year on the back of sustained focus on our license compliance business. To maintain this level of growth over the next 3 years, we need to repeatedly scale our license compliance operation in China. This will require a level of systemization, which we have been diligently working through. Turning to the other parts of our business, Octopart has been a highlight. The business has grown in strength since the acquisition some 18 months ago and is now fully integrated. Octopart delivers supply chain intelligence to the engineering community and aims to be the number one brand associated with electronics parts search. Octopart grew 50% to $7.7 million. Our tasking business is also performing well. Following our investment last year in modernizing its organizational structure and focusing its business model on Infineon to capitalize on the rise of Infineon's Tri-Core and Oryx chipset for the automotive industry, the business has grown 19% over the year. Turning to operating expenses, the company's reported expenses grew by 17% to $77.6 million. Of this, we had one-off costs of $2.5 million, related to the outperformance of Octopart in terms of earnout costs, restructuring of our tasking business, and moving further to our direct sales model in EMEA. Expenses also include costs associated with our acquired businesses during 2017. We achieved our goal of 30% EBITDA margin on an all-in basis. However, the one-off costs that I just outlined had a margin impact of 2.3%, which would have otherwise resulted in an EBITDA margin of 32.3%. I'd like to say a few words about Altium's reporting style. Altium reports its earnings on an all-in basis. We do not capitalize R&D expenses. All of our targets are on an all-in basis, and this includes our EBITDA margin. We regard one-offs as an expense category. History for companies shows that one-offs often recur, and as such, reported EBITDA is what we regard as true EBITDA. You'll notice in our presentation that we have put in parentheses, wherever we refer to EBITDA margin, the number with one-off expenses removed. This is to remind an investor that the margin is shown is the all-in reported EBITDA margin, which is what we focus on. This wraps up the formal part of this call, and I'll now pass it over to Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on the telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Our first question comes line of Stuart from Deutsche Bank. Please ask a question. Mr. Stuart Mitchell, your line is now open. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Stuart.
Okay. Just in terms of the 200 mil revenue target, compositionally, there seems to have been some adjustments made to it. Is that to reflect the stronger underlying growth, or is it to do with the acquisition of Upverter?
It's the former, Stuart. The strong performance in 2017 has given us confidence.
Okay. So you've upgraded the revenue target, and now you've provided a 35% margin focus versus previously a 30% margin target.
Yes. I just wanted to correct what I might have misstated. The margin target is 35% for 2020 rather than 30% that I mistakenly said.
Okay, and just in terms of, I guess, the business more generally, over the first 2 months of the year, has the really strong, I guess, revenue performance continued, and particularly, I guess, with a focus on the Americas?
Yes, it does. Actually, when we talked at half year about increasing capacity, we did that in the second half, and we're seeing that continue forward, and we're seeing strong first quarter revenue going right now. So we feel very good with that in the Americas, and we're also transitioning that model into EMEA with a heavier focus on new logos.
Okay. And just, I guess when you look at all the headline metrics, pretty much a very strong result across the board. Are there any areas that are causing some concerns in the business or things that we may look back on in 12 months and begin discussing?
This feels very solid, Stuart. We're pretty much executing to what we said we would do strategically, and the results are coming in. There's obviously risk, but we feel very confident moving forward with the model we have and the execution we've shown.
Okay. No worries. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you. Our next question comes line of Chris Savage from Bell Potter. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. Aram, you're not going to like this first question, but Upverter, can you give us an idea how much consideration?
Hi, Chris. The acquisition from a P&L perspective and size is not only significant. It's really the strategic aspect of Upverter that is most significant for us. It really allows us to move forward in a significant way with our cloud strategy. But from an acquisition point of view and size is not really significant.
And the impact to the P&L won't be significant.
At least it won't be significant in FY18?
Correct. From a negative perspective, we expect beyond 18 to see positive results related to...
Sure. And just the acquisition date or effective date of the acquisition?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. 25th of August. Sorry, the date.
And all cash or any scrip?
There was also a deferred consideration that will be in scrip.
Okay. Aram, I like the EBITDA margin target up to 35%. I'm glad you corrected that. Is it going to be a fairly linear sort of increase from 30 in 17 up to 35 in 20, or do you anticipate some heavy investment in some periods that might pull it back, or, you know, is it going to come late, or how do you see the margin playing out over the next few years?
First is that it's a minimum 35% or better,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be linear. It's, we obviously will continue to aggressively invest in our core business, and of course, if we didn't go aggressive on that, we'll be in the high 30s or even low 40s. So, mm-hmm. to get to the 35, it's just a matter of getting the balance right.
Okay. And last one, Athena, launch date, is that still November this year?
Yes, it's going to come out at the same time as AD18, which is October, early November each year.
So can we look forward to some initial sales in the second half of FY18?
Yes, we will have a new category in our reporting, probably February 2018, which will be first time, and obviously August 2018 will be when we'll have a full year number for put in against Athena.
So would you expect more of a second half skew this year or not?
It would be no different to how traditionally our second half is always stronger than our first half.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Darren O'Dell from Foster Stock. Please ask a question.
Hi. Just in relation to the Dassault relationship and with CATIA, how's the integration going with CATIA? And if we're thinking about it from a sales cycle from January to December, and December being key for European and US companies, do you think you'd be integrated by next year to be able to make sales by the end of the year at all, or how's that process going in timelines?
Hi, Darren. The integration work's going well. It's quite intense, and we work closely with CATIA team. As far as sales concerned, that's really outside Altium's control. That's very much driven by Dassault, and I can't really comment on that. But as far as the integration is concerned, it's going well.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Neon Sharifour from Blue Ocean Equities. Please ask a question.
Hey, g'day Aram and Joe. How's it going? Fantastic result with what's been produced. Just wanted to ask, with regards to the acquisition of Upverter, where does it sort of sit in the realm of sort of other cloud-based EDA offerings such as Onshape? It looks a bit early stage. Is it the best way to frame this in similar to Octopart and the likes, a bit of an early stage company where you look to see the results coming through perhaps, you know, 3-4 years from now?
Yeah, it's very much a good comparison with Onshape, whereas Onshape is a pure cloud offering for mechanical CAD. Upverter is the equivalent of that for electronics. But yes, we very much see similar to Upverter, and our strategy is going to be along the same line as our strategy with Upverter, with Octopart.
Okay, perfect. And I guess the other thing is with the integration, I noticed their office is based in Toronto. Would the development team be staying up there in Canada, or how are you looking to sort of allocate resources?
Yes, they will stay in Toronto.
Yeah.
They've got a nice place there. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite a groovy place in downtown.
All right, perfect. Thanks very much, Aram, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Tony Skinner from Selector. Please ask a question.
Yeah, hi everyone. Look, just wanted to look at the board and systems a bit more, and specifically on the Americas market. Could you just talk a little bit about how that's unfolding, particularly with your sales and marketing efforts that you've been undertaking over the past few years, and perhaps the traction you're getting in that market?
Okay. At the half year, we talked about a capacity issue that we saw in the Americas. We corrected that in the second half, and we split our model, we'll call it. We focused more on specific resources on new logo development and new logo sales, and specific resources on recurring revenue and renewals. And that enabled us to really concentrate on the new logo side, and we saw the uplift in sales, you saw the uplift in seats, and it's been continuing going forward. So our model and systemization is really around defining appropriate stages and steps for each of these areas. So we segregated the new logos, and we call that a pack, and we segregated the renewal processes with existing customers, we call those pods. And that focus has absolutely enabled us to, I think, break through some of the logjam on resourcing that we had. And we added some management capability there, too. We've also spent the last year really focusing on marketing and beefing up our capability within the marketing world, adding resources for product differentiation, product analysis, to get us the ability to run multi-product, multi-channel, and we think that's starting to pay off. So it's been a lot of investment in that area. On the sales side, you see a much more immediate result. On the marketing side, it set the stage for us to do Athena appropriately and some future products appropriately. Does that answer
okay.
your question?
Yes, it does. And just with respect to the pool itself, with the lapses of the on that slide 16, the lapses of 5,600, how's that progressing? Because obviously, if you can get the lapses down, obviously it helps the renewal.
Absolutely. So having more licenses definitely helps the renewal side. And we hit our target. 5,500 was a very good number for 17, and we're moving forward on that into 18. We have a long-term target of 2020 to be close to 7,000.
Okay. And so in terms of those lapses, as a percentage, though, is it I haven't done it here, but what's the – when you measure it, is it actually – is that lapse being maintained in a sense, or is it actually improving? That is, you're losing less, if you like?
Tony, you know, right now, if you look at slide 16, which I think you're probably looking at
– Yeah.
The lapse number, which is, say, for FY16, was 5,460.
Yes.
For FY17, it was 5,605. That is for both developed and developing countries. You will find that the main culprit in that number is, developing countries, which is Russia, China, and places like that. We might break this up into two, and you'll find that the one that it's relevant to the developed countries is much better looking than that number.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that might be a good thing to do. And in terms of you called out China, the first half was an excellent result. Can you just can you put some numbers around what actually China was for the full year? Because I think you've also indicated that you've got confidence of maintaining that growth rate for the foreseeable future, or for at least the near future. So can you just talk a little bit about China and perhaps the number of units that were sold there?
China, it's been 4 or 5 years that we've been kind of not really going anywhere, breaking through. It's been 1,000 licenses a year. And this year we shot up to 1,400 licenses, which is 23% increase. That's quite significant because I've been there and I know how these things work. So I definitely believe there's something that is happening in China for us. And it's basically the process of license compliance. We have said this, that the number of people who are using our software in China, it's quite large, and we've seen that in action, and we have managed to improve processes that are involved with the license compliance, and that has resulted in significant increase in the actual compliance process. Yeah.
All right. So 1,400 becomes a base, and you feel that you can grow that 1,400 into. Well, next year and the year after, by that sort of similar growth rate?
Well, I believe, yes. I think, by 2020, if we keep this up, then we should get to 2,000 licenses a year, and that's
that's great result. Bearing in mind that the total pool in China is 100,000 plus, so it will take many, many years to convert them all, but I really welcome the fact that we've broken through that glass ceiling around 1,000, which
okay.
is more of an indication process limitation than the actual size of the market.
All right, and then final question, just on slide 8 with the EMEA, and you mentioned the planned expansion, if you wish, or going direct in Italy, Spain, and Portugal. Is that just a sense of those markets? Are those markets performing at this point, or you're wishing to go direct because the opportunity set is significant? I'm just trying to get a sense of that.
The opportunity, we believe, is significant. So these are markets served by resellers today, and we believe our transactional model works better. So lead generation, capability to drive new logos, and not rely as much on existing business and renewals is where we want to go. And that's what we do well, which is why we're driving into those markets.
And Joe, is there any is there consideration that's due here, or is it similar to the other actions that have taken place in Europe? Do you need to pay consideration to do this, or is it you're simply taking over their operations?
No. We've chosen when we purchased resellers, and we did that. Those resellers were specifically done for their capabilities and the bang they gave for their buck. So the Nordic region is a great example. We acquired that reseller to drive throughout the entire Nordic region, which is what they did because they have strong capability. We did not do that in France. We just terminated, and that's a better model for us unless we sincerely believe that capability will drive extensive growth in other areas.
Okay. Thank you again, and excellent result. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ron Shamgar from TBF. Please ask a question.
Hey, Aaron. How are you doing?
Good day. How are you?
Good, thank you. Just a couple of questions from me. First one is in terms of the Altium Designer license, its prices. Just what are you seeing in terms of prices? Have you had to discount in terms of winning new business? Are you raising prices? Can you give us an idea?
No, there is not much happening around the price side of things. It's steady since a few years ago that we did the price adjustment. We're very happy with where the price is. We made some small adjustments just due to the disparity in the value of various currencies. But in terms of the positioning and price, we're very happy where it is. As far as discounting is concerned, there is, again, nothing unusual happening there.
We are actually better in terms of holistic discounting this year than last.
Okay. And what are you seeing competitors, Cadence, Mentor, Zukin, what are you seeing them in terms of pricing?
You know, they 2 years ago, Mentor dropped its pads prices, and you know, it has had no effect on us. I just think that it's not about price as far as they're concerned. It's about reach and the power of the brand and the momentum behind the brand. And Altium is super strong. You know, 5 years of what we've done, they have to match that.
Okay. So, and in your 2020 revenue target, are you assuming any price increases to licenses or subscriptions?
Nothing out of ordinary.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just finally, acquisitions-wise, I mean, obviously, a couple of years ago, you've raised a bit of money. Since then, you've done sort of more kind of bolt-on acquisitions, nothing major. Can you give us some idea of sort of the pipeline, what's out there, and sort of what sort of is holding you back from doing a big acquisition? Is it multiples? There's nothing out there. I mean, what can you give us some color?
We're actively pursuing acquisition, and we've been at times very close to making things happen. That's significant, but valuation and the way that that business is going to impact our financial performance, they're very religious about our financial performance. So that's the key, that for us, we're patient and we'll wait till we get the right value. But this is an important part, particularly post 2020, for assembling all the ingredients that are needed for what we call product design and realization platform.
So is it unlikely we'll see anything major in FY18 in terms of acquisition?
You know, if it comes up, we'll go for it, but we won't force it. Like, we've been pursuing it. You know, sometimes we get disappointed because we put a lot of efforts in, and at the end we can't get it the way we want it. So, you know, use cricket analogy, if the ball's there, we're going to hit it for a four. But we won't go out of our way to actually play a shot.
And just last quick one, your tax rate obviously is very low. Estimate sort of how many years you can keep going at this rate?
It's deferred tax base, and it's a 7 to 10 years.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Good result. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Matt Joss from TMF. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Just want to dig into China a little bit more. So it sounds like it's less of a sales process there and more of an enforcement process. Is that correct? And you mentioned, Aram, that the limitation on new signups is mostly a process limitation. Is that just having the staff to send enforcement notices? What's kind of the limit there?
The limit is actually the people who we call resellers in China. Their businesses is such that it's an optimum point, and by us putting more effort on our end, doesn't necessarily flow through into their business as far as capacity building is concerned. So we're actually taking control of the front line of our sales in China, and that is the in my opinion, the breakthrough. It's really just going through the numbers, and that requires us to be able to have all aspects of the process, from the initial engagement until we actually complete a license compliant case. All of that has to grow in terms of efficiency. It's no good for us to do 80% of it and the last 20% is a bottleneck. So that's the thing that I believe is a key in turning China around.
And in terms of the kind of sales process there, could you just give kind of some high level, how does that differ from like a US sales office in terms of the activities?
In the US, we've got to convince people to buy our software. In China, they're already using our software, all of them. So it's convincing them to pay us money. So it's more of a debt collection. And, you know, it's a matter of going through that process where we send a letter and then they come back and we send another letter and we escalate until they pay us.
Excellent. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Andrew Tan from Bell Potter. Please ask a question.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for all your hard work and the great strategy you've put in place. It's much appreciated. I just had a question about your thoughts on momentum. I guess you were talking about the power of momentum and you know, how that's very hard to stop. So in your view, what are the most exciting kind of markets or products that's benefiting from this momentum?
Do you mean internal products or external products or market?
Well, or just in terms of Altium's product sets or geographies.
Is Altium Designer. You know, Altium Designer is like our Photoshop from Adobe equivalent. It's like Microsoft Word. It is true that we have all these other products, which are great supporting acts, but they're like backup singers. The lead singer for the band is Altium Designer, and AD18 is actually absolutely amazing. And, you know, on the back of the last 5 years, people are totally taken back that AD18 comes. You know, we've been releasing AD13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and nobody expected AD18 to be such a hit. And that is only through momentum.
Okay, so AD18 will be another step change in terms of functionality and, I guess, potential market penetration?
You know, over the whole history of the company, there's been five cycles back in the 80s and 90s and 2000. I won't go through that. But you will find AD18 is going to this X2 platform. This is the next phase, next generation capabilities, and that's going to be the underpinning of our run for from 18 to 2025 as far as PCB is concerned. It's really difficult for our competitors to respond to that.
Okay. And in terms of specific geographic markets, are you seeing more momentum in certain markets than others?
You know, Andrew, over the years, we've always had this, that America did really well and Europe didn't, and Europe did really well, but America didn't. This is the first time that all the markets are actually doing well, I really like that. So all of them actually showing that strength.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on the telephone keypad. As there are no further questions at this time, I'll now turn the call back to today's presenter. Please continue.
In closing, I would like to reiterate my confidence in our business momentum and our ability to achieve our 2020 revenue target of $200 million. We will grow our reported EBITDA margin steadily and aim at achieving 35% or better by 2020. While continuing to aggressively invest in our business. We'll continue to pursue partnership and M&A opportunities to support our long-term vision of creating a product design and realization platform that is centered around electronics. Finally, I would like to express my sincere thanks to our shareholders and supporters for believing in our journey and putting their trust in Altium. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.